Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Lamentations. The Old Testament book of Lamentations, and we find our way to Lamentations in chapter number 3. The book of Lamentations in chapter number 3. We're now on the downhill slope of our Sunday school series of studying through the 5 chapters of Lamentations. And we've been walking through with Jeremiah as this is a funeral dirge. The word Lamentations carries the idea of loud mourning. And it's mourning because of the idea of the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 BC by the Babylonians, and it definitely left an impact. And Jeremiah was left behind to be an eyewitness. And the book of Lamentations is a poetical funeral dirge of Jeremiah walking through and seeing what the judgment of God looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like. And he's walking through, giving an account. And as we had saw last time, that Jeremiah himself is not immune to the destruction. Everything that the people are suffering, he suffered. He's hungry. He's sick. He's hurt. He's brokenhearted. And on top of that, people are making fun of him, saying, "This is the man who supposedly trusted God. Look at him." And he's a derision. How would you be surviving if it looked like the last 40 years of your life was an abject failure? The last 40 years of your life, everything you worked for has disappeared. That Jeremiah preached for 40 years for the idea to try to stop the judgment coming by people repenting and getting right with God. But nobody got right with God. He preached for 40 years and nobody got him an attaboy. No one bought him a Starbucks coffee. No one cheered for him. No one encouraged him. He did this and now the judgment of God has failed. And now people are still ignoring him. He's gone through the judgment of God. Again, 40 years of faithful service, suffering service, gone, looks like a waste. Many people looking at Jeremiah and saying, "You just wasted your life." Great encouragement. And so Jeremiah, he is not a superhuman. There is no such thing as super Christians. How do you survive an event like this? Well, Jeremiah speaks about this in Lamentations chapter 3. Notice with me, if you don't mind, Lamentations chapter 3, and look with me in verse number 18. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 18. Jeremiah is poetically speaking, verse 18. "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith the Lord. My soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so, there may be hope." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find inside of verse number 21? It says in Lamentations 3:21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." This is what we see here, is Jeremiah saying, this is what I remember about God. What I remember about God. Jeremiah, again, is in the worst period of his life. Jerusalem's been destroyed. The temple that had God's name on it's destroyed. People are killed. People have been kidnapped. During this time, there has been at least 5 different sieges by Babylon. Each time they have taken some of the greatest people. They've taken in the first siege, Daniel, who, by the way, was probably highly influenced by Jeremiah. And we could see that because he had Jeremiah's writings with him the entire time of captivity. In the second and third ones, it's taken people like Mordecai, Ezekiel, who, by the way, Jeremiah and Ezekiel wrote many letters trying to keep each other encouraged and what's going on. One's in captivity, one's left in Jerusalem. We have people like Jehoiakim, a king of Israel has been taken away and he has been put into prison. So during all of this time, Jeremiah's watched people get kidnapped. He's watching people he's built relationships taken away. He's watched people that he knows killed. He's been accused. He, right up to this time, he was thrown into prison and put into a muck and mire that he couldn't lay down. And he was put in there for weeks where he was stuck in there. They, in order to get him out, they'd have to lower a rope and he'd have to put it underneath his armpits and they would have to lift him up and it'd... And that's what he got for his troubles of preaching. Why was he thrown in there? Because he tried to take a vacation. After one of the sieges, he says, you know what, I'm going to go visit outside of the city. And they say, oh, look, Jeremiah's running away to the enemy. And they put him in prison. He's been put in prison. He's been abused. He's been mocked. His most famous message was a message about submission. And it was dealing with the idea of... the yoke, and that he says we need to put ourselves in the yoke of submission and submit to the authorities that God gave to us. But people didn't like that message and they made fun of it and they would re-preach it in their own ways. Kings have disregarded him. They did have a king who would see him, but they would come in secret where no one was looking and hear him talking to Jeremiah. And then when Jeremiah tried to talk with him, he says, listen, you're not going to like my answer. Oh, no, I'll like your answer. You just tell me the truth. He told him the truth, and the king said, I don't like your answer. Everything he's done has looked like a failure. How can you go on when it seems like nobody cares? Nobody likes you. How do you go on when 40 years of hard work are washed down the drain? How do you go on when you're hungry, when you're sick, when you're hurting, and you're suffering the same things as the rest of the people? How do you go on in your lowest period? Therefore, I recall to my mind. Amen. Therefore, I have hope. These things I recall to my mind. What does he remember, by the way? He doesn't remember his good times. He doesn't remember butterflies and sunshine. He doesn't remember youthful exploits. What does he recall to his mind in his darkest times? The things he's learned about God. These things I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. What I remember about God. In order for us to be able to survive, and not just survive, but thrive in our darkest times, we have to dig a deep well of our personal, intimate knowledge of who God is. Most church people only have a surface knowledge. And that surface knowledge is water dumped in by a preacher. So they come in, they hear the preaching, the preacher throws in some water into their well, and that's fine. But then that dries up pretty quickly when they start using it. You're not going to be able to survive off of that. In order for each person to survive themselves, they must have their own personal walk with the Lord and their own intimate knowledge of God for themselves. So that way, when those hard times come, you don't just survive, but you thrive. You don't dry up. You don't wither away. Your faith doesn't become destroyed and and just a fragment of itself in those hard times. Circumstances do not determine our joy. God does. But it only comes when we recall these things to our mind. Things that we learned to be true about God that is still true in the bad times as well as the good times. We have to be able to dig for ourselves a deep, deep well. By the way, we do that during the good times that we learn to walk with God for ourselves. We learn different traits. What type of things do we learn about God? Well, one of the reasons why we've been doing the Name of God series is each one of the names of God tells us something special and unique about who God is, so we can depend upon Him. And the attributes and the characteristics of God become an important study. It's interesting to see what kind of, if you could allow me a little divergence, what books come out in the Christian arena. Most of the books that come out are garbage. Self-help books. How to smile on good days. How to pick yourself up by the bootstraps. It's issues preaching, meaning, well, seven traps of television and why this is wrong. And it becomes all of that. Very few times do we have a good book about who God is, the attributes of God, the characteristics of God. But those are the things that we need. You say, well, why aren't they publishing? Because they don't sell. People will put out what people will buy. People have such a surface Christianity that they only reinforce their surface Christianity. But that surface Christianity will not help when we hit our dark times. It's the things that are true about God. It's the things that we've learned by personal experience from God's word and putting God to the test. What are things that we learn about God that helps us? Well, we know that God is eternal. Why does that help us? That means that God never changes. From eternity past to eternity future, God is God. That means He'll never be voted out. He'll never retire. He'll never get unelected. He'll never be deposed. He'll never need naps. He'll never have surgery. He'll never have someone fill in for Him. God is eternal. That means His promises are eternal because no one can override them. No one can veto them. No one can change them up. Amen. We could depend upon God. That's a great attribute of God for us, that God never changes. What's another attribute of God that helps us as we learn? That God is holy. God is not common and ordinary. God is not profane. God is holy. He is above everything. And that we study the holiness of God and we see how far above everything He is. When we see God's holiness, it helps us quite a bit. That God is not a corrupted God. He is above everything else. He is set apart from creation and He is the standard bearer. What other things we learn? We learn that God is almighty. That means He's omnistrength, all strength. As we study the names of God, we've learned so much about Him. We see that He's the God that sees me. He sees where I came from. He sees where I'm at. He sees where I'm going. Because of that, He has all the information He needs to direct my path because He sees everything about me. He's the Jehovah Jireh. He's the God that provides. He's the God who's able to provide in our deepest need. When we start learning these things about the names of God, the characteristics of God, the attributes of God, and we learn them for ourselves, we start to dig a deeper and deeper well that we can recall to our mind. You know, David got to a place of his lowest point where his own men thought about stoning him. He looked like he was an abject failure in his life. How did he get survive that? Well, he couldn't go to the preacher. He's exiled. What could he do? It says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He wasn't dependent on anyone else. But how do you encourage yourself in the Lord? This I recalled to my mind. Amen. Therefore, I have hope. He remembered who God was, that God never changed. And he was able to encourage himself by who God is, by His attributes, by His characteristics. And that in his darkest time, where he couldn't depend upon himself, he could depend on God. In fact, he wrote in that same time frame in Psalms, he said, I would have fainted or quit if I didn't believe to see the goodness of God. Now listen to that statement. If I didn't believe to see. He said, I don't see God's goodness. I just have to believe it's true because of the things I learned. Because in our dark times, if we just have a surface level Christianity, then we say, God's not good. God's not right. God wouldn't allow this to happen to me. Oh, why did he let my dog who's 100 years old die? Why did he, you know, we get to the place where if it's just surface level and we look and we said, I don't see goodness of God. David said, I had to believe to see the goodness of God. How do I do this? This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. I had to, on purpose, go back and remember the things I know that is true about God. So that way, when I'm in my darkest time, I am still thriving because God is still true and I'm depending on that truth. That God and who God is isn't dependent on my situation. God is above all of that. He is beyond all of that. The biggest things I'll face is so small in God's hands. But I have to, on purpose, recall to my mind who God is. So that way, in my darkest times, I'm still thriving and moving forward. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. With that being said, let's look through here in the book of Lamentations and let's pull out a couple different things about who God is that Jeremiah had to depend upon. Notice again where we were speaking at. He says in Lamentations 3 and verse number 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I have hope in him. Verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. One of the things that we remember about God is that God is a God of hope. God is a God of hope. Now, that word hope is an important word. Today, we use this word hope as a wistful, wishful thing, meaning I hope that it is warm today, that it's kind of a wishful thing. We have no control, no confidence in it. If we go outside and it's not warm, we're not devastated because our true dependence was not whether it was warm or not. We're like, well, I just hope it's warm. It's wistful and wishful. That is not how the Bible uses the word hope. The word hope in the Bible is a confident expectation of something or someone sure to come. It is a confident expectation of someone or something sure to come. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. I have a God of hope, that I have a God who's still in control, who still has power, who could still work, and my expectation, my confidence is that God is still going to be God, no matter what my circumstances are, no matter what situation I may face. This I recall to my mind, things about God, and because of that, I have hope. I have hope. We as Christians should be a hopeful people. In fact, in my book on resiliency, I have a whole chapter on this. The idea that we should be hopeful people. Resilient people are going to be hopeful people. Again, not hope for hope's sake, but because I depend upon God, therefore I'm hopeful. I can have hope in the darkest times because I have a God of hope. I have a God who's still in charge, a God who could still work, a God who still moves. Now, Jeremiah was taught this principle all the way back in Jeremiah 18. In Jeremiah 18, if you're not familiar with the account, Jeremiah 18 is brought by God to go see a potter. And then God says, Jeremiah, tell me what you see. Well, he says, I see a pot on a wheel. And I see the potter's hands moving it, marking it. He says, yep. He says, I'm the potter, you're the clay. That's where we get that song from. The idea is that God has a lump of clay in front of him, and he's working with that clay. and he's manipulating the clay. And he's trying to shape it into something good, something useful, something in his hands. And so the potter is working. Now, for those of you who need a reminder of what clay was like back in the day, especially if you lived in a place where clay was naturally in the ground, you'd take the clay from the earth. And you can't just use it right then and there, but you got to take all the stuff out, the rocks and the leaves and the little pebbles out. And you got to take all that stuff out of it. Then what you do is you start playing with the clay. You start rolling it up in a ball, and then you roll it out and stretch it out, and you put it into a ball again. Now, if you talk to the clay at this time and say, hey, what's up? It'll be like, what are you doing? It's hurting. You're pounding on me. You're rolling me up. I don't understand what's going on. And yet, the whole time, the potter has something in mind, pulling out the things out of our life that don't need to be a part of it, things that are going to keep us from being where we should be. God knows what he's doing with it, the pounding. There's a purpose for it. You have to get that clay malleable without it being manipulated. But that pounding and say, what are you doing? You're hurting me. What are you doing? Start rolling it up. This doesn't make sense. I don't understand what's going on. You don't have to. But God's a God who knows what he's doing. He puts him up on the treadle, or puts him up on the platform, starts working on it. And underneath, what you don't see is that the foot is moving on the treadle that's actually causing it to go round and round and round. And that God's in control of how fast it goes and how slow it goes. He's in control of the entire situation. Now, he did this to Jeremiah before all of this happened, so that way he had something to recall to his mind. I have a God who's in charge, who's able to use these circumstances to make me into what he wants me, to use me as he sees fit. He knows what he's doing. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope that I have a God who's in charge, a God who knows what he's doing, a God who is working, a God who's manipulating. There's a God that's going on. God shows his prophet how the potter had remade the vessel when it was marred. So he watched as the vessel, as it had some hard spots or had something, and then the whole clay pot kind of just collapsed into each other. But he watched the potter take it and remake it and still do something with it. That as long as the pot was malleable in the potter's hands, the potter was able to do something with it. He says, in an instant, I can bless you. In an instant, I could take you down. He says, we could trust God because he knows what he's doing. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. There's something else that we learn about God that Jeremiah brings up in Lamentations chapter 3. Is not only is God a God of hope, but we also see that we have a God of mercy. Notice with me verse number 22. He says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They, what is they? God's mercies are new every morning. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. What is the mercy of God? God not giving to me what I truly deserve. And God is full of mercy. We all deserve to be roasting in hell right now. But as of his mercies, we're not. But beyond salvation, you know how many times we fail God all the time? That we deserve lightning strikes. We deserve the earth to be opened up. But God says, I've got plenty of mercy for you. And then every morning, we have a brand new stack of mercy for you. That you can't outuse God's mercy. Isn't that blessing? Because there's many days I'm positive I could really outstretch God's mercies. Where God says, you know what? You failed all day. You wouldn't get better. You knew better. And you still had a bad attitude. And you still wouldn't trust in me. And I kept convicting you. And you're like, no, leave me alone, God. I've got this. Just, I want to be miserable. I want to be whatever else. And then we have a good night's sleep. And God says, all right, feel better? Let's start a new day with new mercies. Amen. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Every day's new mercy, and God is faithful that we don't wake up one morning and God says, you know what, I'm out of faith, I'm out of mercy today, you're just done. That'd be a horrible day to start off with. He is faithful every day. I'm thankful that there's a God whose mercies don't run out, because you know what? There's plenty of times I've definitely challenged his mercies. There's plenty of times where I've just aggravated him, that if I was in charge, I would lightning strike me. I would have just said, you know what? It would just, you're done. But God is full of mercies and he loves me. And he wants the best for me. And I could wake up every morning, even knowing that I failed, knowing I could go to God and say, God, please help me. I'm an awful sinner. I need your help. I can't do this myself. I'm going to mess this day up too if I don't depend upon you. And God says, let's go. How does Jeremiah keep going? This I recall to my mind. Amen. Therefore, I have hope that God's mercies, they are the reason why I'm not consumed. That idea of consumed carries with it in this picture here to be burnt up where there's nothing left. I deserve God's fire upon me where he burns up everything and there's nothing left. The only reason why that does not happen is because of God's mercies. When I truly deserve it. Why don't they? Because his compassions fail not. God still loves me and he cares for me. That's why he hasn't wiped me off the earth. That's why he hasn't taken his thumb and just squidging me out. And he's a great God. Not only that, they are new every morning. You know, just thinking about that should be enough to give us hope. Especially when we've had a string of bad days put together. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. My hope is not in myself. My hope is not hoping that I turn over a new leaf. My hope is not that I'm going to do better. My hope is that I have a great God. Yes, yes. And that's the source of everything. Why can I do better? Because God is a good God. It's of his mercies. Oh, I'm thankful that God is a God of mercy. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. I can do that because I have a God of hope. I can continue on because I have a God of mercy. One more thing. Our God is faithful. I can keep going because our God is faithful. Verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, I'm thankful that God is always faithful. That we can keep trusting on him. Notice, because of God's faithfulness, notice what he says, verse 24. The Lord is my portion, meaning he's my supply, he's my sufficiency, saith my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. Amen. You know, God is faithful that he will continue to supply for me.
Yes, sir.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I could depend upon him. I could trust in him because of him being faithful. He will always care enough to be able to supply if I trust and depend upon him. Notice verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. God made a promise that if I keep looking for him, he'll be found of me. He's always faithful. That there'd never be a time where I truly repent and go up to God and God says, no, you're done. I'm thankful that God is always to be found, that anytime I need him, he's available. I should be seeking him often and early because he's available and I can have hope in him. Verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. God is faithful. I could depend upon him to deliver, for him to work, for him to guide. And I could trust in him. I don't have to take matters in my own hands. Even in my darkest times, I could trust in him because he is faithful. Notice again, verse 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Well, this carries the idea that it's good for a person to go through troubles. Yeah, it's good for a person to go through troubles. You learn to depend upon God. God becomes more real in those times of trouble than any other time in your life. Yep. And Jeremiah said, while I'm in this judgment, while I'm in here and watching the city still burn, while I'm watching all of this, God is still good and God is still right. I'm in the most pain of my life. God is still good and God is still right. Everything is falling apart around me. God is still good. And God is still right. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope because God is faithful. He is faithful, and I could trust in him. I could depend upon him. Verse 28, he sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if it so be that there may be hope. Oh, we could depend upon God and trust in him. Verse 30, he giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. And yet, guess what? We can trust him. We cannot learn what we must learn about God until we understand that we are nothing without him. In waiting for God, we learn that God is our hope, that he is merciful, that he is faithful. This is what we must remember about God before it's too late. We need to remember and learn these things so that way when we go through the hard times, we're still thriving, not just surviving, rather than withering away. Whether being disappointed and bitter towards God, trying to blame God for being bad to me. We should be digging a deep well so we could stay watered and supplied because we've learned things about God and keep pulling from that deep well. This I recall to my mind. So let me ask you, how deep is your well? How is your personal knowledge and walk with God? Is it deep or is it superficial? Does it run out quick or can you draw from it for a long time and long periods of darkness? This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.